Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show driven by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have been selling insurance in this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business. They've always been able to find their customers the right price, the best price, and they make sure you're covered. And if you have questions, they answer them like that. Purdy Insurance, full service. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Donnie Collins in a few moments, but first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Second and three, handoff. Barkley makes a couple miss. Now breaks to the outside. He's to the 40, gets to the sideline. Barkley across midfield into Jaguar territory. Still going to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants! 68 yards for Saquon Barkley.
Bob Papa with the call on the Giants radio network. My advice, Bob, get used to it. All right, here is Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, it's been too long. It is great to have you back with us.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I hope you're doing well today. Okay, game one to game two improvement. How much of it did you see in Penn State?
Oh, a lot, yeah. I thought the offensive line a lot better in week two, and they kind of hinted that it was going to be they're going from a pretty standard 4-3 front to after the 3-4. I think they were just seeing something they were much more used to. But I thought really the big difference, and I think it was pretty obvious, was secondary played great. And at first, I thought they were they missed some assignments. They were out of position a lot. Second week, I thought they were great. I don't remember a pit receiver wide open. They couldn't throw the ball, couldn't move it through the air, made them pretty one dimensional. Oro Warrior, I thought, was terrific. And I thought they were really the big differences in the first 2 weeks. Offensive line playing number one and defensive backfield number two with some help from the defensive line as that game went on, got a lot better too. But, the offensive line and the secondary impressed me more than anything.
How did you feel about the work of special teams from week one to week two?
Yeah, that's a weird one. I kind of thought, knowing that there was going to be some rain in the forecast. It turned out to be a lot of rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
But I thought Pitt probably, their kickers are a better fit. That's their home field. They're more of a veteran. Kessman's a. He's got more experience than Penninger. Everybody does. So I figured in that kind of environment and that kind of weather, that'd be a big advantage for Pitt. And it turned out to be the other way. But I think what's weird about it to me is Gilligan. How it doesn't surprise me that you look back in the first week, I thought he was for Gilligan pretty bad. And then he comes out and 4 out of 5 punts inside the 20, 3 inside the 10. 2 inside the 5, whatever it was. It's just you expect that out of the guy. And when he's on, I think he's the best punter in college football to me. And he's probably an NFL punter right now if you want to break it down talent wise. But I wasn't so surprised with that. But in that kind of game, he becomes a real weapon because field position really does matter. And Pitt, when you're not going to throw the ball, when you can't throw the ball, and you have to go 94, 95 yards every drive to score a touchdown, it makes it impossible.
Right. So now we get to the field position was so incredibly tilted in that. When you look at the young players in this team, and Penn State's playing a lot of young guys, and let's face it, K.J. Hamler's one of them. He's a redshirt freshman. What kind of improvement are you seeing in the younger guys? Because now they've been able to, it's not an expression to make on this particular day, but getting their feet wet in these early games. How much improvement are you seeing?
Yeah, I expect to see a lot of improvement from those guys. And Hamler kind of was he's different because he comes out, I don't know, he makes the biggest difference in the world in the first game. They're 1-1 without him, let's face it. But you know, I thought he played very well. He's a dynamic guy, and you know he played really well. But I thought, you know, especially on defense, Parsons I thought was a lot better in the second game than the first.
Yeah,
I mean he was very patient. You know, waited for the plays to come to him. He attacked him, didn't miss any tackles. Special teams, he stayed in his lanes. I think he's going to be special. He's going to be special really fast. And not just special talent wise, but special production wise. But defensive line, they got some good minutes from Joseph, good minutes from Ellison Jordan. I mean, Ellison Jordan threw the safety pretty much. Yeah, you know, that's a good group of guys up front. And I said this in the beginning of the year, when I was making my prediction. If the schedule was reversed, I think it's like Penn State's chances to go unbeaten a lot better. Because you get some of the better teams at the end of the schedule when these guys are a little more used to that environment and what it's like to play week in and week out. But you know, I think it has to be a fast adjustment for these guys because they got so many good teams early in the schedule. But now you know the way you look at it, you're seeing how some of these guys are playing. Especially, you know, defensive backfield Johnson played well. You know, Parsons is playing great. The defensive linemen, you think, hey, maybe they're going to get this a little quicker than maybe I realistically thought.
You mentioned defensive linemen there at the end. It's always great to get back an experienced guy that's been around the block and has helped you before. Was there a domino effect to getting Kevin Givens back?
Yeah, that's as well as I've seen him play. I mean, there was some emotion going with him, I think, after missing the first week. Whatever happened there, obviously he wasn't pleased to miss the game, and he came out and played hard. But yeah, it's a big difference when you're adding a legitimate, you know, game wrecking defensive tackle into the mix, and that everybody kind of after that played better. Hansard played well, I thought. I mentioned Jordan, and you know, Windsor I thought played better just because Givens was there. So yeah, I think it's like that in any sport. Once you have your best guy at the position, everybody kind of feeds off that. It's a little more comfortable. It's what they know. Let's face it. I mean, they had throughout preseason practice, they had Givens. That's what they knew, and they were expecting to have him. And now it felt probably a lot more familiar to have him. But I thought I can't remember him playing a game where he was that disruptive. I mean, how often do you see a defensive lineman making tackles sideline to sideline and then leading the team in tackles? That was one of the better games I've seen in a while.
And no question, I thought he played terrific. What have been your thoughts on watching Sharif Miller through 2 weeks? As I know Jack Ham's been really impressed by him.
Yeah, he's a good player. I thought he was a good player last year too, and it wasn't going to surprise me if he took a nice step forward this year. And he's been disruptive. I thought that the play at the goal line, I mean, McPherson makes which really the big play in the game. McPherson makes the tackle on Ollison, but it was really Sharif that made the play because you know, they pulled that left tackle, and Sharif just stood him up. I mean, and that's the adjustment really that they made. They Sharif wasn't getting too far upfield at that point. After that point, and you know, he was basically taking that guy out of the play. So you know, someone's coming free to. Yeah, off the edge to tackle the running back or pursue the quarterback or whatever they had to do, and that play really set the tone defensively for the rest of the game. And I thought he really made a smart play on that and listened to his coaching and got better and was able to consistently do it. And I think that's really the key for Sharif. I mean, he's taken coaching well. He was a raw player when they got him, and now he's looking more and more polished every week. And I you know, he's to me their best defensive lineman. I regardless of position, but you know he's a guy that I expected kind of would take that next step because I thought he made that much improvement last year.
I know that when I went around and spoke to groups, I said, hey, look, Miles Sanders doesn't have to be the next Saquon Barkley. He just has to be the first Miles Sanders. So how's the first Miles Sanders doing, in your opinion, through two games?
He's a good player, isn't he? I mean, he's a totally different guy than Barkley. And when he tries to do what Barkley does, he gets himself in trouble. And I thought there was a play in the game where he kind of tried to reverse field and ends up losing 6-7 yards, whatever it was. But nobody could beat Barkley. There's no, I mean, who's been Barkley in the history of Penn State football or any program, really? I mean, Barkley's in his own stratosphere. But when Sanders takes what he's given, he's as good as anybody to me. I mean, but between the tackles, he was gold. He's picking up 5-6 yards when there's 5-6 yards there. He was cutting. He's making some good linebackers miss. I really thought, even in the first week, I thought they got away from him a little bit. And I know the RPOs and stuff like that. There's he can get 30 carries or can get 15, and it's not really the play call. It's what's being given. But I would be really tempted to figure out a way to get him the ball as much as I could. I think he's if he holds on to the football, and he has. He's done that, from the midway point last year till now. But if he holds on to the football, I think he's not Barkley, but he's a grinded out guy who's going to get you positive yardage. He's going to put you in third and two more often than not.
So what's the next step for this team? Obviously, they're going to have to deal with the tempo of Kent State. Kent State offensively wants to go fast with a 230-pound athletic quarterback. So that part we'll deal with a little bit later in the week. But, Donnie, is this a question now of a young but talented group becoming more consistent each and every week? Is that what we're looking at, or is there something more?
Yeah, I think that's it. When you said first, what's the next step, I thought consistency. It's just being able to get the reps and it's tough to say this, but you almost got to treat it like a minor league baseball team a little bit. You just get out there and get in the situations and see what you could do in the situation. There's some things you can do in the game that you just can't simulate in practice. And Kent State's a good enough team that they're going to show Penn State some looks they haven't seen. So it's just a matter of getting that experience, and because you're going to see something. Kent State's going to show them something this week that they're going to see down the road, you would think.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of get out there, get the young guys some reps, keep the veteran guys fresh, avoid injuries, and I think they'll be okay. And I get McSorley's a generational quarterback for this team, and they're going to go as far as he can go. But I see this team much more in the long term than being, next year, the year after. What are they building toward then? What they get this year is gravy, and McSorley's earned that. But what they can build now for 2019, 2020, I think that's really what interests me most about this team, because they're going to get so many of these guys back.
Yeah, a lot of these guys will be back. How do you look? Do we factor a lot in the conditions about the drops, or is that an area for concern?
I'd be concerned. I mean, if it's the younger guys dropping the ball in those conditions, I'm okay with that. I mean, Hamler dropped the pass. It was a tough throw. It was a really great throw by McSorley, where Hamler kind of slid toward the sideline and it hit off his shoulder pad. But I'm not so concerned about Hamler dropping the ball as I am Juwan Johnson and Tompkins dropping the ball, because they need those guys to make big plays. They've gotten away with it so far, but I don't know how much, how many more passes they could drop before you start to look and say, hey, we need somebody out there who's going to be a little bit more consistent than that. And the thing is, you know Johnson's a better player than that, so you think he'd snap out of it. But this is a year for Tompkins. Really needs to play better. I really think that he needs to go out and be the veteran guy and lead this, lead this team by example. And he's been a little sloppy. And I get it. There hasn't been ideal conditions either week, and maybe that changes. But when you got a history of it, it does become it does raise eyebrows a little bit when it's not correcting.
Donnie, it's always a pleasure. It's great to hear you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times-Tribune. Always great to have Donnie on the show. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows many of you will be heading to the Bloomsburg Fair, so they need to sell cars now. Sunbury Motors is going to price all new Fords at a level that makes it impossible to say no. You'll be feeling great driving to the fair in a 2018 Ford Escape for only $18,820. Sunbury Motors has to sell seven new Fords every day from now till the Bloomsburg Fair. Pack up the family in your 2018 Explorer. Explorers start under $30,000 at SMC, and they have 20 to choose from. Every Edge, Focus, Fusion, Fiesta, EcoSport will be discounted for SMC to sell seven new Fords every day from now till the fair. Sunbury Motors has 70 new F-150s marked down to as low as $25,969 and just announced 0% for 72 months on F-150s. You'll save thousands over the term of your loan. SMC needs seven sales every day before the Bloomsburg Fair. We'll see you at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Don't forget to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. We've got it on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Great resource for all of Penn State football fans as we move through the season.
Absolutely. I know I listen to it all the time to find out what my perspective is. I have nothing. Yeah, what am I thinking? And why?
What did Kevin say?
Yeah. Which one?
Right. It's true.
The logical one or the one that's circling a moon? All right. Troy is going to join us. Hi, Troy. How are you today?
Hi, I wish my name was Troy, but it's Tony.
Oh, it's Tony.
I was going to say, I did type Tony in the prompter. Right?
Tony in Shamokin.
There you go, Troy. Oh, my God, my dad's spinning in his grave.
That's your long-lost twin.
Oh, yeah. On our family with that name. Pat Narduzzi said after the game, he goes, that wasn't the real Pitt football team out there. I mean, who was it? Albright?
Yeah.
He's
an interesting guy, so.
But, I mean, they played pretty good up until about the middle of the second quarter. And he didn't mind high-fiving and fist pumping and making muscles up to that point. You know, I don't think Pat's going to have to worry about a future series with Penn State. I think next year he'll be operating Narduzzi's Pizzeria.
Well, he's got a long-term contract, and he's got a buyout that goes with it. So,
him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got to coach his team. And, look, and I don't really, to be honest with you, Tony, except for getting ready for the games, I really don't follow too much of what they do during the course of the year. I mean, I follow them like I do any other Penn State opponent, but that's about it.
That's pretty much how I am. And getting back to the drop balls, I can never understand how anyone could catch a football in a rain with gloves on. I mean, I just might because that's what I
Tony,
know.
Tony, that's a really good point, and that's something I made a point of the other night. I think it's such a flip of the coin as to whether you wear gloves or don't wear gloves in the rain. Saquon Barkley wouldn't wear them if it was raining. Okay?
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, I watch guys in practice. They experiment in practice with and without gloves when James practices outside in the rain. I think it's just a hard call, and I have no answer for it.
you could see those passes. They're right in their hands. They go right through them.
Yeah.
You know, they have the ball.
Yep.
You
know, there's no question.
And, you know, the ABC reporting on Pickett's sister, did anybody find out if she got back to Stroudsburg safely? What she had to eat?
No.
I don't know if you noticed that. They were talking about that quite a bit.
Well, you know what? TV broadcasts are now shows.
And
this is not saying one's better than the other. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. Jack Ham and I view doing the game as the game. Okay, that's what how we approach it, right?
Yeah, and TV, that's why I usually listen to you guys.
And TV has it as a show. And I'm not saying, Tony, one's better than the other. I'm not. But that's how TV does games now. They do them as shows. So,
is Pittsburgh, are they a senior-dominated team?
A lot of fifth-year guys on that team. Three in the offensive line. A lot of their defensive guys are fifth-year guys. Now, the one young guy on offense is the quarterback, and that's Kenny Pickett. He's a sophomore, and he struggled on Saturday night. But I've watched him on tape in other games, and you know what? I think he's not great, but he's a good college quarterback. He actually is.
He's a good quarterback for Pitt, you know, and they should reevaluate their schedule and look at Temple and Syracuse and, you know, all the teams that could have joined the league when they had the opportunity.
Well, got one more of these next year, Tony. Got one more of these next year here.
And then by the next time they schedule it, I should be long gone.
Well, Tony, I'm hoping you hang on for 25 more years. Come on.
25 more years. I might hang on for 25 more years, but I'll keep forgetting who I am and what I'm doing here.
Tony, hey, thanks.
Have a great day. Yep,
you
have
too.
A great day.
Matt Leon, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Reason? Their customers are locked in because they know they're already with the best. I don't care whether you need auto, home, life, business insurance, whatever your insurance needs, Purdy will find you the right coverage and they'll find you the best price. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, time now to go to Philadelphia. Matt Leon, by the way, will be the opposite number this week of Doug Birdsong because Matt does Penn football. So Matt and Doug will be getting together. I've already had a long talk with Matt about the suit, so appeasement will be involved. But, you know, I'm just trying to keep the process moving, Sean.
Got to prepare, yeah.
You know, it's like I'm... Like Matt says, what's the other guy like? Okay. I said, be prepared to ask him a question. I said, and then go get a sandwich. He goes, oh. I said, it's going to be a long answer. Remember 2 weeks ago we asked the suit to preview the opening game?
That's right.
Right? And remember how we both left and came back?
Time to get to the cooler and come back, yeah.
It was. No, I made a sandwich. I mean, I don't know you what did. You did at the cooler. Yeah. And then I asked a follow-up question. That was a mistake. All right, let's bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
That scene on Thursday night in Philly was quite a scene. What did you think of the scene and then the game?
I'm sorry, what was that again? You broke up with me. I lost you. What was that again?
What did you think of the scene and the game on Thursday night?
The scene was about what you thought. I mean, this city has relished being a world champion, as you can imagine, all season long. It was interesting
because you had the kind of the buildup, and then you had whatever it was, the 45-minute delay because of the weather, and you were kind of worried that maybe some of the juice would go out of the building, but that was not the case, as the fans were ready for this one. And the game was, honestly, it played out about exactly as I thought it would. I thought the Eagles' offense would be inconsistent. It was, because they really were a group that hadn't played together all summer. They were fits and starts, but they made the big plays when they thought they would. I honestly thought Atlanta would find a way to win, because I thought Atlanta would have more of a chip on its shoulder after losing in the playoffs last year. But the Falcons made the same mistakes on Thursday that they made back in January. Struggled in the red zone, some questionable play calling at key spots, and the Eagles, to their credit, made the big plays when they counted.
And, of course, one of them was running Philly, which is this year's version of the Philly special. Just emotionally, what did that do for the stadium just to do it?
I think it kind of kick-started things. And you look at the numbers, first of all, it got the place went nuts. But from the team standpoint, you look at the numbers from that point on, that's really kind of what got the offense in sync, was that play. They had really, really struggled to put anything together to that point. But after that, they did a nice job moving the football. I was shocked they called that. I was shocked they did that. I'm amazed that it worked again. But, boy, Doug Peterson just has a feel for these things. And it was a critical play in that victory.
So it's only one game. And they won it, and they beat what we think is a quality team. But I mean, it wasn't a dominating performance by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't have to be, because you don't do it by ratings in the NFL. You do it by wins. But how good can they be?
They can be really good. I think the defense was close to dominating in that game. I think Julio Jones got his, but they kept him from making a game-changing play. They did a great job in the red zone. Like I said, some of that was some Falcons play that left you scratching your head. But I think the biggest thing with this group is it is a group that now believes it deserves to win every game, and that they will find a way to win every game. And I think when you have confidence like that to go along with talent, that carries you a long way. That can be really good, because they won this game, and I know he's a Super Bowl MVP, but they won it with a backup quarterback.
Yep.
They won it without two of their four starting wide, or two of their four wide receivers, including their best wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. They didn't have their best linebacker in Nigel Bradham. Two key players on offense, Jason Peters and Darren Sproles, basically were playing their first games in a year since returning from injury. So you had a lot of moving parts in that game, and to find a way to win it once again against a team that I think is going to be there, you know, come January in the Falcons, I think says a lot that this group didn't have the Super Bowl hangover, and they are ready for another deep run.
What does it mean to them to get Jason Peters back?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, not just on the field, but I think he is just such a leader on that team, and somebody that specifically the offensive linemen and the offense really take their cues from, and what he can still do. I mean, if you watch that game with no context, like with no idea of the history, you would not think that the Eagles tackle was a guy in his mid to late 30s coming off what for many would be a career-ending injury. He was outstanding. Again, he is an incredibly special talent that continues to play at a high level.
All right, they've got Tampa Bay next, which is coming off a remarkable opening win where they, to their credit, gave up a ton of points and scored a ton. So what do you think of that matchup?
It's interesting because Ryan Fitzpatrick's NFL career is amazing to me, that he has gotten as many opportunities as he has through the years. He was great. A key in that one, I mean, one of the things that I had found for the last couple of years, or last year specifically, was the Buccaneers didn't utilize DeSean Jackson as a deep threat.
Right.
And that was with Jameis Winston, a quarterback. All of a sudden here with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, granted, it's against a Saints defense that has its issues, but they were bombs away. I mean, these were not, you know, Jackson, I think, finished, was something like 5, 169 and 2 touchdowns. And these were not like bubble screens that he broke. You know, these were over-the-top go patterns, you know, classic DeSean Jackson just running past people. But all that being said, he also suffered a concussion. So he's going to be up in the air for Sunday, obviously. And if he's not there, the Buccaneers are a lot, not, I shouldn't say a lot easier, but they're a different team to defend for because they don't have him taking the top off the defense. I mean, Mike Evans is outstanding. Yeah. Mike Evans is going to get his.
Right.
But he is easier to try to contain if you don't have one eye constantly, you know, looking 30 yards down the field at DeSean Jackson. I think they've got issues defensively. I think you'll also see an Eagles offense that will be more in rhythm going into this one. And I would look for them to put more sustained drives together. But, you know, these first couple, 2 or 3 weeks, everybody's kind of finding each other, finding
sure.
themselves.
No doubt.
And it's really hard from week one to week two to try to, you know, decide who's got it and who doesn't. So this will be interesting because I think most people thought the Buccaneers, because of everything that's happened with Winston and everything, were going to be one of the poorer teams in the league. And I think that was really a shot across the bow, not just that they won that game, but how they won it. I know it finished 48-40, but I think they were 48-24 with like 8 minutes left. I mean, they really were controlling that game until some Drew Brees magic down the stretch made it a little dicey. But this will be interesting. You know, first road game. It'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do here. I think one good thing is you don't have to worry about the Eagles taking this game for granted, because I think anybody hanging 48 on the board will get a defense's attention really quickly.
Yeah, I think that the entire league's attention. And remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the single best opening month backup quarterback in the NFL. I mean, his opening months have been over the years. Wow. It's November where there's an issue when he's a long-term solution. Well, it's not November. It's still September.
And it is really amazing. He is just a guy, you know, he's been everywhere.
Yes,
I mean, I don't have
is.
The numbers in front of me, but, you know, Cincinnati, Buffalo, now Tampa Bay, the Rams, and I know I'm forgetting several stops, well, the Jets.
Belfont, you know, Altoona, he's been everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of these places, you know, he kind of signs on as a number two, you know, as a solid backup, and all of a sudden gets thrust into the – he's going to end up with some incredible – career numbers for a guy that has never really been a player that anyone has wanted to build around. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, I know.
But as a guy who's looked at as a very solid number two quarterback, he's going to end up with some really tremendous career numbers. And I mean, I remember calling a game of his when he was at Harvard,
right.
You know, and you watched him and you knew he was a special talent. And I thought he'd make it in the NFL, but in no way did I think he would still be starting games in 2018.
How's the city with how the Phillies are playing? Disappointed, or is there still a sense of, hey, look, they're a year ahead of time? What is it?
It's kind of mixed with both those sentiments, with the arrow pointing towards disappointing, because, you know, you get to, you know, July 31st and you're 15 games over 500 and you're right there. And the last month's really been ugly. It's not just the losing, you know, it's the teams they've lost to, it's the way they've lost. You know, yesterday against the Mets, they get a break when DeGrom gets scratched, and Mets, a mediocre Mets team throws a mediocre bullpen game, and the Phillies can't take advantage. And the back end of the rotation, which was a big reason why the Phillies were at 1.15 games over 500, has really just kind of fallen apart. Eflin, Velazquez, Pivetta, these guys struggle to go five innings. It is incredible during this stretch here since the beginning of August. I don't know what the numbers are, but at least 50% of the time when the Phillies score runs or take the lead in the game, the starting pitcher gives them back the next half inning. And that just kills momentum. I think they are a team now that's kind of waiting for bad things to happen. Still only 4.5 out of the East, and they still play the Braves 7 times over the last 11 games. So, you know, you still got a chance here, and you've got to expect just from the law of averages they're going to play better than they have the last month. But I think most people have kind of accepted that it's probably not going to happen this year. And I think once you get a little bit removed from the season and removed from the struggles down the stretch, there'll be more of a positive look on it, you know, as you look at guys that have taken a step forward and you realize that they're pretty well positioned going forward.
Well, now they've got an even bigger problem in the city. The Eagles are back playing again. So
yeah.
they go, no offense to them, to the back burner quickly. So.
But actually, it also might be a good thing as people
have been
paying as close attention the last few weeks.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Great to have you with us on the show today. Little Phil Collins, just to make everything a little bit better out there. Just a little Phil Collins. It's all good. Well, the Nittany Lions will take on Kent State. Now, look, it's going to be tempo. They've really got to, again, get themselves tempo. Because if they want to go fast, they call it, they're the Golden Flashes, so they call them, Flash Fast is what they call it. The junior college transfer quarterback is good. I mean, good player. He's 230 pounds, but he can run, man. I mean, he can run. And that's what they'll have to do. They'll have to keep tempo. Now, let's get to the part that can be a real plus. Based on how it plays out, and that is, hey, look, you get some three and outs against a team like that, and guess what happens? Hardly any time goes off the clock, and you're rolling all over the place offensively, and that makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference. So that's where you look at it and say, okay, yeah, but control that tempo. You control the game. Plus, your offense can control it, too. And you don't have to go slow offensively to counter their tempo. I mean, Penn State's not one of those teams that has to do this because Penn State does have more talent across the board. It doesn't mean Kent State's devoid of talent. They aren't. They've got guys that can play. Rankin's a good running back. I like the quarterback a lot. Matt Barr on defense, really good player. Faulkner, really good player. I mean, so they got some guys over there that can play. So that's going to be Saturday at noon. We're beginning at 10:30. Now, WKOK tonight will have the Phillies on. The Phillies are taking on the Nationals tonight. Jake Arrieta is on the mound tonight for Philadelphia. So we will have the Phillies game for you tonight. I know we do carry Monday Night Football, but the Phillies trump that. And let's see if they can make a late run here. They've got the Braves seven times down the stretch here. That's where they can make some hay.
Yeah, Rhys Hoskins, he's been on a tear. Homered for the third consecutive game in that loss yesterday, the Mets. And Arrieta last week, last outing, was 11 strikeouts, 7 1/3 innings against the Marlins.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't be losing the Mets in the stretch drive.
Mm-mm.
You can't be doing that.
Or the Marlins.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Marlins the other night against the Pirates. And I went to the game and I looked down at the dugout because we were right behind the dugout. And I said to the people that were in the group, I said that is the Marlins' best player right there. They said, oh, really? Who is that? I said, Don Mattingly. I said, but he's the manager. I said, exactly. Doesn't play anymore. But he's their best player. A couple years ago, it would have been Andrew McCutchen out there and Giancarlo Stanton. Instead, we got a lot of guys on Friday night where you felt like Harry Doyle was there, played by Bob Uecker. I don't know where he's from, but I'm sure where he was, he did a heck of a job. What? A lot of guys like that. But it's good to see Paul Alexander, by the way. And it was good to actually see Frank Coonley. Frank Coonley, the president of the Pirates, had a long talk with Frank on Friday night. And it was good to catch up with him. Frank's Penn State guy. And Michael Motti. Michael Motti, I saw him last night. Mike has not been here since leaving campus for the pros. He's not come back. Mike's going to be here for a couple days. I talked to Mike about doing the show, and he said, yeah, he'd love to. He said, I don't do many shows. He says, but I'll do yours. I said, good. That's great. Yeah, then he asked the fateful question. You know what question that was.
Ooh.
That suit guy isn't still there, is he?
No.
I said, well, he's selling digital media. And he looked at me and he said, what's that?
Well, he is an old school kind of guy.
No, I said, no, it makes you average.
That was a great little foray into broadcasting that Mike did when he was doing color on the blue-white game on BTN a couple of springs ago.
Yep. But he is not really, you know, so we'll talk to him. He's right now he's in limbo. He is, he says each year New Orleans calls him back, and he says, and each year I keep going. I said, do you have enough time to qualify for the pension plan? He says, yes. I said, do you want to get into coaching? He goes, no.
Well, that means his health is still good enough, and that's important because he's been going through quite a bit.
Yeah, no, and I thought when I talked to Mike last night, because he was at practice, Mike seemed good. He seemed good. Okay. Oh, look, there's another Aaron Rodgers touchdown pass. Wow. Boy, can't stop him. You tied the Browns. That's like losing, man.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.